Tonight, I want to try to wrap this thing up, and Thanksgiving week is coming. That is my favorite week of the year, and I think it speaks of a word that is one of my favorite words. I think we can tie it a bit to marriage, and yet tie it to the week that lies before us in just being grateful to the Lord for His faithfulness. And I want to preach to you tonight just on that thought, that word, faithfulness. Would you take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 89? Psalm 89. And there, let's read the first 8 verses, though we will talk about others in the psalm. Psalm 89, beginning in verse 1. There the Bible says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Let's pray and ask his blessing. Now, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time that we've been able to share together over these last several days. We thank you. I know Nancy and I thank you for the encouragement that it's been to us. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless this church, bless the preacher and his family, the staff. Thank you so much for these faithful people who labor here. And Lord, I just pray tonight as we gather now and consider this week and the wonderful time of Thanksgiving that we'll experience, I pray that you would just speak to us tonight about the blessed lives we have in you. Lord, remind us that we are blessed people. And may we resolve to be faithful like you are faithful. Guide us and help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, faithful is perhaps my favorite word in the English language. I think it means so much. I love the word faithful. I love examples or illustrations of faithfulness. One of my favorite things, I mentioned Paul Harvey the other day at the conference. I used to love to listen to Paul Harvey. And every once in a while, maybe once a week, he would have a segment on his radio show, and it was called The Tournament of Roses. And then he would go on after announcing the Tournament of Roses, and he would give you the names of a couple, and it seemed to me they were always in the heartland somewhere. And he would say, so-and-so and so-and-so have been married 70 years today, 65 years today. I said the other day, I was preaching one time this message, and I said, you know, the longest I've ever heard was 72 years. And an old man came up on a cane and his wife not far behind me, and he introduced themselves as Arv and Emma Wilkinson, and that month they had been married 79 years. Number one, that's a long time to be married. Number two, wasn't it awesome they were in church on a Sunday morning at 79 years of marriage? They were married at 4 years old. Late in their 90s, they were. I love faithfulness in preachers. I love men of God who do not follow every wind of doctrine, every change in the culture. God doesn't change. Why would we? I love lay people who are faithful to a church. I love to hear the testimonies of ladies who work the nursery for 20, 30, 40 years because it's a point of serving their Lord and being a blessing to others. I think my favorite are Sunday school teachers of junior high boys who have done it for 40 years. God is going to make them a wonderful mansion in heaven that only they get. But they're faithful. They're faithful. And I want you to understand this, that when we talk about faithfulness, I love testimonies of faithful lives, but all of them are nothing more than a reflection of the faithfulness of Almighty God towards us. I think we need to focus on God's faithfulness this week and be grateful for all that He is in our homes, our marriages, all that He is in our lives, and strive to be faithful like Him. I come to this psalm, and I love this psalm because it is a testimony of God's faithfulness. I don't know if your Bible has them, but my Bible has an ascription over the psalm, and my Bible says that Psalm 89 is a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. Now, there's a number of things we can learn from that. Number one, the word maskil just simply means that it is a psalm or a poem, a song written to be instructive. God wants to teach us. God wants us to be instructed in a certain truth. And if we study just the first few verses of that psalm, notice with me in verse 1, the phrase in the latter part, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Notice in verse 2, thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Notice verse 5, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Notice verse 8, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. I'm not a particularly bright guy, but I get it. There is a psalm written to instruct, and four times in the first eight verses, we read that this psalm is about God's faithfulness, thy faithfulness. This is a psalm written to instruct God's people about God's faithfulness. Now, I also notice that it is written by Ethan the Ezrahite. Now, that tells me a couple of things. Being an Ezrahite meant that he was of the tribe of Levi. He was a member of the Levitical tribe. His charge in life, his job in life, was to be a studier and teacher of the Word of God to the people of God. That was what he was to be about. He was to teach God's truth to God's people. I told you at the conference, I have a Strong's Concordance. It makes me dangerous. And I look up words because I want to see the truth or the meaning of words. And so I said, I'm going to look up the name Ethan and see what it means. And Ethan in the Hebrew means permanent or constant. Now stay with me on this. So God comes to an Ezrahite, a Levite, and he says, Ethan, I have a job for you. The Holy Spirit is going to bless and empower you, but I want you to write a psalm that instructs my people about my faithfulness to them. I might also add this. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 31, Ethan is mentioned again. And in that verse, he is mentioned in comparison to the wisdom of Solomon. Now, the Bible doesn't say he is as wise as Solomon, but I would submit to you that if you're included in the same verse talking about the wisdom of Solomon and you're comparable, you're really a bright guy. And this wise man is charged by God, write a psalm to my people that will instruct them, that will remind them, that will encourage them that, Ethan, I am faithful to my people. Now, that'd be good. But now let me talk to you about when the psalm was written. I could understand if God came to Ethan in the time of David and said, Ethan, I want you to write a psalm about my faithfulness. Because in truth, there is a great deal of this psalm about David. It is about the promise that David will have one of his lineage sitting on the throne. That is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is of the line of David. But it wasn't written under the kingship of David when the kingdom was growing and expanding and the sweet singer of Israel was king and the man after God's own heart was king. It wasn't written then. I could probably understand it if Psalm 89 had been written by Ethan when Solomon was king. Because when Solomon was king, the kingdom of Israel reached its zenith. And though Solomon was certainly a flawed man, he was a man that built a great kingdom and great cities. And I can understand why people would look at that circumstance and understand that God is faithful. But it wasn't written when Solomon was king. Do you know when it was written? It was written after a foolish Rehoboam rejected the wisdom of the elder counselors. And instead of receiving their counsel, he took the counsel of young men and he increased the taxes and increased the hardship on Israel, on Judah. And the kingdom split. Jeroboam came back and 10 tribes followed him with their capital established at Samaria. And 2 tribes stayed under Rehoboam in Judah with their capital in Jerusalem. And here's the truth. As the Jews, as the Hebrews looked at this circumstance, whichever side they chose, they had to look at it and say, this is the end of Israel. It's over. Where is God? Why has God allowed this to happen? Has God forsaken us? Has God forgotten us? Has God abandoned us? And into that setting steps Ethan. And God says, Ethan, remind my people that no matter what the circumstances look like, I am faithful. I do not forget my promises. I do not abandon my people. I do not forsake them. I don't know about you, but I know in my lifetime that has covered some years, I've never lived in a day like we live. I've never seen a more divided nation. I've never seen more serious problems that affect our society and affect our world. And sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, my spirit wants to say, where is God? How is it that we can have millions of abortions in our nation? How is it that we can't even figure out men marry women and women marry men? How come we can't figure out that men are born men and ladies are born ladies? It's never been like this. It's never been worse than this. And sometimes my old pessimistic spirit says, where is God? And the answer comes back, God has never changed and never left, and the circumstances do not determine the power of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God, or the presence of God. Because God is faithful. And Ethan goes, and he says, now listen, people of God, don't look at the circumstances. Remember who your God is. And because God is faithful, regardless of what circumstances look like, here are some things that you should do in your life in response to the faithfulness of Almighty God. Notice them with me quickly. Here's number one. God's people ought to celebrate God's faithfulness. Look at verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Somebody ought to put that in a song. Oh, I think they already have. You know, we can be so quick to grumble and complain. And there are no more blessed people on the face of this earth. We come this week into a Thanksgiving season. We sit here with our families. We are so blessed materially and so blessed spiritually. And the truth is that out of our mouths, every day out of our mouths, God ought to hear praise for His goodness and praise for His faithfulness to us. And yet, here's the truth. More times than we would like to admit, God does not hear praise out of our lips. He hears complaint out of our lips. And I want you to know it's not innocent. It is not innocent. It is sinful. There was a time that Israel was wandering in the wilderness. And if you've ever been to the Holy Land and seen Sinai, please get it. It is wilderness. There is nothing there that can sustain a million people. There is not enough water to drink. There's not enough water for their herds and flocks. There is certainly nothing that would grow that which would sustain millions of people for 40 years. And yet for every day of those 40 years, God supplied what they needed. Every day they got up and went out into that field and they found that precious thing called man. It had the taste of fresh oil. It had a beautiful appearance. And I don't know what was in it, but it provided the nutrition that they needed, whether you were elderly or young. It was everything you needed. I would think that every day Israel would wake up, thank you, God, for manna. Thank you, God, for manna. Thank you, God, for manna. But it came to the place in the book of Numbers that they actually came to the place where they said, all we have is this white bread. And they came to where they loathed what God had blessed them with. And it was not innocent and it was not unnoticed by God. God dealt with them for their complaining spirit in the face of His faithful blessing. And Ethan says, let me tell you, you live in a place and in a manner where you are so richly blessed that sometimes you forget and take for granted what God has done for you. And Ethan makes this suggestion. What you ought to do is get up every day. And when you go out into the cold or when you go off to work when you're tired, you ought to have on your lips, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, even when it snows 9 inches, when they say it's going to be 3. Even when I have to work overtime, when I don't want to work overtime. Even when they didn't appreciate me when I thought I would have been appreciated. Who are we to complain? We are so blessed. With my mouth, sing it with me, will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing mercies of the Lord. Put away the grumbling. Put away the complaining. It is sin. And God is good. Here's number two. Our faith can rest on God's faithfulness. Ethan says, now listen, God is faithful to you. Celebrate His faithfulness. Don't complain. Here's number two. We are to allow our faith to rest on God's faithfulness. There are a lot of things that cannot be depended on in our world. Things are always changing. Things that are new today will be old by the end of the day. Things go in style, out of style. What's popular today will be forgotten tomorrow. My wife and I recently moved. I was cleaning out our basement and I found my hula hoop. I told her, I'm going to keep this because it may come back in. She said, if it did, you couldn't do it. Amen. But God's faithfulness never changes. It is established every day in the heavens. Now, I'm going to do something that's going to seem silly, but I believe it is absolutely critical to understand. God says, I'm going to show you that I am providential over change in your life. He says, look, I know that everything changes. I know that we're born and we grow up and we get old and we die. I know that things come and go away. And I know that we can be distressed by change and upset with change. But he said, I want to show you that I am provident. I am over the change that is in your life. And the way I'm going to evidence to you that I am in control of change is I am going to demonstrate change. I don't know if you noticed it this morning, but when we came to church this morning, it was daylight. Did you notice that? Did you notice that the sun went down? Now, this is a rocket science moment. Do you realize that tomorrow morning, the sun will come up? Stay with me. This is tough. Did you know tomorrow night it'll go down? And every day God brings the sun up and the sun goes down. And listen, that is not a lesson to be lost. It is something that a Christian ought to look up into the heavens and say, that's my God. My God is in charge of change. My God brings the sun and hides the sun and brings the sun and hides the sun. And God knows what I am today and what I need tomorrow and how life will change a year from now. And God is in it in my life. Today it's winter, but take heart, spring is coming, and spring will give way to the greatest season of the earth, summer. We can go fishing, but watch out, fall will come and winter will come. My point is this, that is not something that just happens by Mother Nature. That is Almighty God giving you a testimony that He rules over change. And as you grow older, as things change in your life, God says, I know where you are. I know what you need. I know how to care for you. I know how to provide for you because I am the God who is over change. My mercies are new to you every morning. My compassions never fail. And every morning you can see great is thy faithfulness because every morning I do what I said I would do. I bring the sun up and it goes down. Hey, every morning you can see my faithfulness. Every evening you can see my faithfulness. Well, the songwriter understood it. And they wrote these words. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Sing it with me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. All I, morning, new mercies I see. I got excited. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faith. Did you know the Lord knows when you lose your job? Did you know the Lord knows when your body gets sick? Did you know the Lord knows when something hard comes into your life, something changes in your life? And God is faithful, and He will bring you through that change. He will provide for you in that change, because God is faithful over change. Here's number three. We got to go quick. You're listening too slow. Heaven is sure because God is faithful. Heaven is sure because God is faithful. Look at verse 5. I love this. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Did you know that right now there is a place called heaven? And there are saints there already singing praises to the Lord. My mother and father are there. My grandmother is there. My wife's mother and father are there. They are over there and they're already enjoying heaven. They're already singing praises to our Savior. Sometimes I think we come to the place in our thinking where we think history begins with us. And my point is simply this, that God has been doing what we are involved in doing for a long time. And if we pass off before Jesus comes, He will keep doing what He's doing. Church didn't begin with us. God didn't start with us. We have become the selfie generation, and we think that everything revolves around us. You say, preacher, what is your point? There is a heaven that we are moving towards, and there is a hell to be shunned. And you and I ought to be sharing the truth of that with the people that surround us, that we care about, that we love, because there is a place called heaven that we're moving towards. Here's number four. No human faithfulness can be compared to God's faithfulness. Look at verse 8. O Lord of God of, or Lord of God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or thy faithfulness round about thee? Hey, there are faithful men and women, and I love the testimonies of faithful men and women, but I want you to know this, men and women will fail us. I got saved in 1975. And I can make you this statement. I have tried every day, almost every day. I can't think of any, but I'm sure I missed one or two. I have read my Bible. I have studied my Bible. I have endeavored to serve the Lord for those years. I want to be used of the Lord. I want to help. I want to reach people. But I guarantee you this, though I have had good intentions and I have worked hard at serving the Lord, I have disappointed people. I have failed. As a pastor, I'm sure there is someone I could have loved more. I could have served more. I am sure there's a way I could have studied more. I am sure that I have disappointed someone. But I want to tell you, you have never been disappointed by the Lord. I am so weary of people who stay out of church because there are hypocrites at church. Brother, we don't go to church to worship the people who aren't hypocrites. There aren't any of them there. Somebody says that to me, well, there's hypocrites down there at the church. I answer them back, that's all that's there. There aren't any that aren't hypocrites. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I disagree with you. I'm not a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Because you know you do not live perfectly towards the Lord in your thoughts, in your deeds, in your words. You know there's a gap between what you want to be and what you accomplish being. Now I'll tell you, something happened to me the other day. My wife and I were on the road. We needed something, and so we stopped at that place where Christians shop, Walmart. And as we were walking into Walmart, there was a lady there with a yellow smiley face on her smock. Man, I was getting ready because I knew her job was to be nice to me. I was waiting for the smile. I was waiting for the greeting. I was going to be nice to her and greet her. And right when I got to that door, she just turned like this. I'm never going back to Walmart. That's just silly, isn't it? And yet people use other people as an excuse to not be faithful to a God who has never been anything but faithful to them. Knock it off. No human's faithfulness can ever compare to God's faithfulness. And if you want to find somebody to be disappointed in, it's not hard. You can find it. But God has never failed you and never will fail you. Serve Him and worship Him quickly. God will be faithful to you. Look at verse 24. Now I'm going to hurry. Look at verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. He's talking specifically about David. He is reminding the nation of Israel, I made a promise to David that one of his line would sit on the throne, and it is going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is reminding Israel, I will not forsake that promise. I will not fail in that promise. I will be faithful to my word. Now listen, sometimes as believers, we can see why God would be faithful to David. He's David. We could see why God would be faithful to Moses. He's Moses. Or Joshua. Or Paul. Or Peter. But can I remind each of us something tonight? That they were scraped up and made out of the same dust that you and I were made out of. And God had a plan and a purpose for their life. And praise God for it. And I'm glad we get to read of it and study it. But understand, God has a purpose and a plan for the life of Mike Edwards, if nobody ever knows his name. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And He knows where you are. And He knows how He wants to use you. And not one word of promise about the purpose of your life will fail unfulfilled. God will be faithful to you. God will help you to accomplish what He has laid out for your life to accomplish. I had the sweetest call this afternoon, preacher. I shared it with a young couple, I forget names, but the young man who's an engineer. Engineers are pretty sure they'll never find somebody that will marry them. Well, all right, think about it. We had a young man named Caleb in our church, and he's an aeronautical engineer. He can design rockets to go to the moon. He just can't say hi to a girl. All the girls are saying, yeah, we got a church load of them. No. And Caleb and I would pray together. He'd say, Pastor, I want to be married, and I want a wife, and I want to serve with a wife, and we'd pray and we'd pray and we'd hunt and we'd hunt. And it didn't end well and it didn't end well. And the day Caleb called me, and I knew he'd been talking and I knew they were courting, and he called me and he said, Preacher, God was faithful to His plan for my life. She said, yes. He was amazed. I was amazed. We can be out there and we can think that God has forgotten us. We can think that God has abandoned us, that somehow we're just out there by ourselves. Hey, a young person can think that, but so can an old person whose partner's maybe gone on. So can a young preacher or a young servant of God who feels like, boy, it's just so hard. Can they go on? And here's what I'm here to tell you. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. God knows what His thoughts are towards you and His plan is for you. Do not give up on God, because God never gives up on His plan for your life. You are important to Him. And He has a plan for you. Don't let the devil make you take a shortcut trust God. He will be faithful to his purpose in your life. Last one and I'm done. I love this. Your sin does not change God's faithfulness. Look at verse 31. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Get this. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Folks, let's just think for a moment. Did David fail God? Oh, yes, he did. He failed God miserably. He failed God morally. And yet, God convicted him. Yes, I know it took Nathan the prophet. I know David resisted. I know all of that. But I want to tell you, in the end, David broke. And when David broke, God did not say to him, "Buddy, you have blown it. You are of no use in for me. I have no use for you. You may want to get right. I'm not here for you." When David broke, when David confessed, when David repented, when David wanted to get right, God was there to say to David, "All right, let's work on it. Let's reestablish. Let's restore fellowship. Let's move on. Let's continue. Let's be what you can be, David. I'll help you." I want to say again what I said in the couples conference. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we paint God as a God with a clenched fist. And God is not the God of a clenched fist. He is the God of open arms who says, "I love you. We can correct it. We can fix it. We can restore it. Come back." Years and years and years, I had men in my church that would say, "Preacher, I'm just not coming back to that altar. I would disgrace God if I came back to that altar because I've promised Him before and I've promised Him before and I fail and I fail and I fail. And preacher, I'm just not going to come back to that altar for that thing." And I'm here to tell you that if you come once, God will meet you. And if you fail and you come again with an honest heart, God will meet you. And three times and four times, matter of fact, probably seven times, 70 times. He is the God of starting again. He is the God of a restored fellowship. And sometimes we excuse ourselves from being right by blaming God when it doesn't have anything to do with God. It has to do with our unwillingness to start again, to try again. God is always faithful to us, even in the face of our unfaithfulness.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.